You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Cindy Carter. But before I bring her out, I wanted to give a big thank you to Cheryl Scott, who started the Volcano California Ubuntu Center, for a wonderful event that she held there, which was a day of listening to Robert Monroe's Hemisync tracks and journeying. Well, we journeyed all over the place, so other dimensions. So she has a beautiful space there, so I highly recommend that those people who are in Northern California check out on Facebook, and it's called the Volcano Ubuntu Community. Okay, so my guest tonight is Cindy Carter. She's returning, and she's an intuitive energy healer, artist, and spirit consultant who brings the consciousness of Kuan Yin and divine angelics through sound, vibration, and transmission. Cindy has been working since 2007 after experiencing a complete awakening to her divine truth. In 2011, she began bringing this information to the collective consciousness to uplift humanity. Cindy now offers spiritual consultations and holographic energy sessions from her home base in the mountains near Asheville, North Carolina. Cindy can be reached through her website, www.knowingdo.com, and she can also be found on Facebook. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you doing, Lance?
I'm still floating from today's journeying on Robert Monroe's Hemisync track.
You do sound a little different.
Well, it was really an amazing experience, and I hadn't been to Volcano, to my friend Cheryl Scott's place, since she had turned it into the Ubuntu community, and she had built a second story to the garage, which is a beautiful space, probably holds 40 to 60 people, and there were, you know, futons for each person, and covers, and pillows, and headphones. And we just laid back and learned about these different tracks, and it was fascinating, and it was also quite a journey. I mean, I went places that I don't even know where I went, and I didn't have a hangover.
Oh, that's great, and you feel good now. You feel
like you're wonderful. I really do.
Yeah, good.
And
well, that kind of experience is really what we're all kind of seeking right now, is to feel good.
And, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And going on our own journey and kind of forgetting about the rest of the world, because it's really gone nuts. And we were talking about that at the end of last show, and I kind of promised that we would pick up where we left off. So I went back to the show and I listened to the last part of it. And we were talking about several things. One was about having no idols during the political strife. Another was how to step out of duality and be the multidimensional beings that we are. But we left off with people who protest and fight. And we both agreed that it's a waste of energy and to let it go, and that it is created here to add to the chaos and dissonance. So I thought we might pick up where we left off, since we said we would. And we like to keep our word.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Good.
So, so we can talk about, you know, what is the matrix?
Ah, yeah.
Why are we in what we feel is a matrix?
Yeah.
And our perceptions certainly have brought us to the idea that we live in a matrixed environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not of truth, it's not of divinity, it's not of peace or harmony or love or joy, really.
No.
And that's the construct that was created for us to maneuver.
Yes.
And I really have felt like, especially with working with some clients recently, especially, I'm seeing that the progress of the human up until they get to almost a breaking point is that they can't progress because they have no idea that the recycling bin could be something different. Yeah, you know, the reincarnation cycle could be something different for them. They could choose not to have to repeat the cycle. And if you don't come into a matrix and have to repeat the cycle, well, you come in at a higher resonance, a higher frequency, and not you don't have to repeat, you know, from day one.
Right.
So you come in already having an understanding and a knowing and a wisdom fill. So how do you do that? So you can kind of progress in each lifetime really far so that you can get out of the matrix. Well, we have to stop fighting what it is that the matrix brings us.
Right.
You know, I can't tell us anyone enough, especially the people who have been very manipulated. I have a lot of client base that are, you know, targeted individuals or MK Ultra participants, a lot of psychological really disharmony. And it's usually through abuse and mind control. And it's not just from this lifetime, it's several lifetimes of abuse. And so what is the single most, you know, equivalent for all those repetitive lifetimes? Staying in the fight. Well, the fight to some people is giving up. The fight to some people is being the victim. So you're still in the fight. You're still fighting the system by being the victim. When you take away your idea that you are a powerful, sovereign individual on an earth that can help a consciousness through your own valid mechanisms, like your Merkaba being clean, your soul being aware, those type of things allow you to make decisions to not fight. So you have to clean your belief system totally. And how do you do that? You know?
And that takes us into the duality that we're convinced is the reality. You know, like in the political system, we're absolutely certain that it's a free system, and if you don't vote, that you're not putting in your 2 cents, and that there's a Republican Party and a Democratic Party, and people get really lit up over these issues as if they're real. And what they don't understand is that they're both basically run by the shadow government or the dark, what do they call it, the dark, there's a new name for it now, but it's been run for thousands and thousands of years. You can go back to Rome and Egypt, and, you know, it all started out with a priest wanting to get some money for giving advice about a life after death, and they never stopped, and now they're not getting money, they're just getting billions and trillions of dollars.
and power.
And vanity and ego, and and they're run from other places and other other dimensionals and beings who are a very powerful warring creatures, and that's something that we don't see, so we don't believe it. You know, if you don't see it, it isn't true.
And you know, that's part of this idea of, you know, self-initiation is becoming self-mastered, is to understand and trust that there's something going on in the background outside of your perception, because you're only seeing through the eyes of, say, Cindy, when I know that I've been, you know, many other wisdom-filled beings. And at oftentimes I can, you know, take on the wisdom of that at any given time. I can accept the wisdom of that, and I have to trust it and not see myself through outside eyes. Like, oh, if you feel like you can walk away from that, How do you feel like you can walk away from a government? I mean, I'm sure people ask you, Lance, how can you even walk away from Democratic and Republican thing? That's just denying that it's happening. No, it's not. It's understanding that it was all put there by one faction, one source created the duality part, the up and the down, the good and the bad.
Yep.
And if you take either side, you're playing in the matrix.
Right. And they also created the light and the dark. So religions are the light side of the coin, even though they accomplish a great deal of darkness and ignorance and through belief systems, that you need an intermediary for one thing. And then you've got the other side of the coin, which is the dark side, you know, which that part is obvious.
Yeah. And we have to, and this is where compassion is the quotient and the ingredient that we all need to accept to get out of this duality, to be able to see a bigger picture and to understand and trust that your higher self has put you in a place where you can accept the wisdom that you hold, you know, and you can change it, and we can change our perceptions. And that's a really hard thing, especially when people are in crisis. And so that's, you know, what I've been seeing a lot of that. People, this is a grand purging all the way across the universe, and through every human or sentient being is having to purge. And we're purging every bit of cellular memory. Well, how many years of fighting the matrix or the establishment or what is not our truth have we been going through? How many lives?
Just
tons of lives.
Who knows?
And then what happens to your body? It has cellular memory of that.
Yep.
It has the consciousness of that. And then you add your family members' ancestral history with bloodline DNA that have left markers of trauma within you also based on the fight.
Right. And also multiple contracts because Steve Richards, who does the holographic kinetics, trains people on going back and finding out where these timelines went askew. And a friend of mine has been through the training. And she did several sessions with me, and I went back to my father's father, and there was a reptilian behind a contract with the mother and the father. And so it gave me chills because it felt so accurate, and that added to the reasons why my father had turned out like he had. And so I had a chance to bring that timeline up, and she removed the reptilian. And then asked me, what would you like to see happen there? And so I rewrote it from love. And so that whole timeline is gone and rewritten.
So think about if you do that, if we all do that on a collective basis, if we rewrite our own timelines, how powerful the collective conscious will become. So what is the thing that is needed by every human is compassion. It's compassion for themselves first and foremost. If
Absolutely.
You don't hold the compassion for yourself, you'll never get through the muck and the yuck and the goo and the hurt and the angst that's held within your own body.
Yes.
You know,
Absolutely.
And once we can get that out, then you can start adding in the alchemy that's needed, which is the peace and the love and the harmony that's already in there, just accentuate it. And then it becomes like a useless idea, the fight.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you probably notice, like I do, the posts on Facebook about this and that and the other thing and the outrage and anger and the fighting. And it's all such a waste of energy. And that's an important point that you made in the last show, that we only have so much energy for consciousness and to awaken. And when we're spending it on useless chatter and anger at this and that that we can't really change in the moment. And we are being held like hamsters in a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And so there goes the energy for awakening.
It's that cyclical existence, you know, that mind-controlled kind of Rand Corporation idea of how we all should bow down.
Yes.
as a humanity.
Yes.
Across a whole world. And so I feel like we're really coming to a huge awakening for a whole earth, in that the stuff that has been holding back the process of, you know, proliferation of life, the things that have been holding us back are the fight, are the constructs of that societal strife, that
yes.
system. So that system is busting apart. I really feel that it's busting. I'm sure you do too.
Yes. Well, look at all the material that's come out about pedophilia, and that it's run from the top. Well, everything
yes.
is run from the top down. But mm-hmm. what we see is usually the one lone gunman theory. You know, it's yes. one person, and they throw someone under the bus, and that person gets to take the blame, and then we all just forget about it because our attention span is about 3 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
And with cell phones and the sound bites and all of that, we're being basically put into a virtual reality that we will be stuck in for a very long time.
There's blinders on, you know, so hard right now for a lot of humanity. I still interact with people every single day that have zero clue about any of the pedophilia or the higher ups and what they've been involved in, or
mm-hmm.
the fact that they may have already been arrested. They just don't can't wrap their head around it because mainstream media has not told them that. You know, it's
yeah.
not in a magazine, and it hasn't been told to them by somebody on TV. Well,
yes.
that's why I think that the whole mainstream media is falling apart, is that so people can slowly come to the idea of the falsity of it, because it really could damage a humanity to awaken too fast.
Yeah.
It
well,
really
it's not
could.
Happening fast, though, that apparently we're taking the turtle route.
It's too slow for me. I'm ready to keep
oh,
moving.
Me too. That was ready 10 or 20 yeah. years ago.
But then I meet people that, you know, are just not seeing any part of the world other than what they've created, and they're going to have their minds blown. And I am just trying to prepare myself for a lot of people needing to have their perception changed. And how
yeah.
do they allow that, you know?
Yes.
And that's kind of that's a hard one.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to teach.
Well, you know, Gurdjieff used to say that that we only awaken for brief moments, and that it's usually as the result of a shock, like a car accident or you know, a brick falling on your head or something, and that
mm-hmm.
for that those few seconds we're awake, but we fall back asleep again. And so we need each other to wake each other up, because one moment I'll be awake and another moment I'll be asleep, but somebody else may be more awake and
mm-hmm.
can remind me that I was snoozing for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't it's very hard to maintain a grounded existence where
yeah.
you're so grounded that you can allow the cosmic presence of yourself and the wisdom-filled being that you can be to enter your body and mind. And when that happens and you're still a grounded being, you have a foundation of stability all around your being. And then, you know, the fight is not there in your field.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You claim your own field, and you're responsible for, you know, keeping it clean and having integrity and telling the truth and all those other things that people don't like to do.
Yeah. Well, and it's becoming really apparent to everybody through their body right now, like how off it is, you know.
Yeah.
People are having, you know, the ailments and all the symptoms.
But, and then they're routed through the medical industry and big pharma, and that's designed to kill us, but not fast, slowly, because they need to make all the money they can off of us before we die.
And that, I think, is slowly coming out. I think people are just now realizing that, oh, my God, there's still people that fight for vaccines.
It's because
they don't see the children that are dying.
Right. And they, you know? Their minds are closed because their belief systems are so fixed.
Yeah. And where do the belief systems come from?
From the Matrix.
From the Matrix. And from the effect of our ancestors in the Matrix.
Yes, yes.
You know, and so it's not ours. It's a bunch of stuff that's not ours.
right. And all you have to do, really, is just say, ask yourself, is this mine? And if your answer is no, then you put it back on the source of it. You know, it's not on my side of the street. You give it back to the person who created it.
Yeah, or just gift it to your higher self to just take away. And
That's
kind of how my work works. But you just gift it to the golden layer around you, and it just is gone from your system. You don't even have to have an awareness of it outside of that.
Yes, and it's instantaneous, the work you do. And the work that we do internally, it's instant. So it's not like we have to wait for given time. When you make a choice and you make a declaration, it instantaneously occurs because we're manifesting instantaneously.
Well, yes, and what are we manifesting that comes to life in purity is what comes with our intention. And that's what, like, our source, I believe, is pure intention. You know, pure intelligence is our pure intention. And so if we can get back to our pure intention, then what manifests from that is life, life-affirming life, optimistic energy, you know?
Yes.
And that is what I feel would be so freeing.
Well, it's so hard to get to that place when we're surrounded with so much mind control, as you said.
Yes.
From television, and they focus on false flags and various other things, and those events that occur where there's shootings in schools and various other bizarre things that people are murdered at, that's done by professionals who do that for a living. And it's run by the same people to run the world. And Ole Domegaard has been on the show quite a few times, and he talks about this and the clues and how certain people are placed there, you know, that just happen to be with the Mossad, or they happen to be reporters, and of course they get all the photographs, and we believe that that violence and horror is real, but it's just a stage act.
And now, luckily, through social media, we can see the evidence of that staging. You know, they're showing us pictures of people who are instantly there showing live feeds of being shot at by a helicopter instead of shot at from a Mandalay Bay hotel. I mean, it's amazing, the falsity. And so that's why it's like a cartoon. It's like we're living in a cartoon. And so what do we do? We don't stand in amazement of it. We just need to be observers, like we're watching a cartoon. If it's got to have a disconnect to our system, otherwise we continually get triggered. And I'm seeing people whose marriages are falling apart because of politics. I cannot even believe that people have been together for so long and they they have these upsetting occurrences because they're now fighting each other. That's exactly what the system wanted, right?
Yes, absolutely.
to categorize us all so that we can fight amongst each other. And so it's to, you know, the process is for life to understand itself so mm-hmm. that it can change. And so if we're in the process of seeing our darkest shadows within ourselves, then it's up to us to make, you know, all the change and face everything that we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part, really.
Right.
Who wants to look at all of that?
Well, and a lot of it is buried. Mm-hmm. As you said, you mentioned MK Ultra earlier, but trauma-based events create a rift between the essence and the person that is going through the trauma. And I had a good friend who was raped by her grandfather for 10 or 12 years, and she would tell her parents, and her parents were both alcoholics. And so they would just, basically, they would yell at her. Your grandfather would not do a thing like that. And so she was browbeaten, and so she became an alcoholic and spent a lot of her time just trying to drown out the memories. And they surfaced about 5 or 6 years ago, and she remembered all of it. So yes. A lot of these traumas create the essence leaves, and it goes to its own little place because it can't survive the trauma. And then shamans have to help unite the essence with the person whose essence has been traumatized.
Yes.
But she did it by herself, and so it can be done.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of work.
Yeah,
And you know, when you've come that far away from your essence, and, you know, and your higher self is that far away from you, your harmonic rings are so out of alignment that to bring them back really takes intention on the part of the person, and they have to really want to release the trauma. And a lot of times it's that it's hidden. They don't want to see it. They tucked it away nicely. It's deep down somewhere in the body, but it always comes out. You know, in some way. And if I have somebody on the table and I'm doing a session with someone, it's very apparent if that place is going to come out or not. And it's usually that they've made the choice that it's not coming out.
Right.
They'll fight it right on the table. Like I can feel them fighting it, and just let them make the decision not to touch it until they decide, because it makes no sense.
The collective that we represent has kind of made that choice that they don't want to face what has really gone on because it would be too much. And that's one of the reasons why people seem to be stuck on stupid. Because, you know, I don't blame them. I mean, when I look at the things that I've learned over the last 11 years on this silly show and books that I've read and research I've done, so there are times when I think, I wish I didn't know this, but I asked for it, and I specifically asked to know the truth, and I got it. So, you know, it's not pleasant, especially at first, but it has to happen in order to clear it out.
And you came to the realization that you had something to do with that decision.
Yes. Yes.
That's the biggest part. You weren't the victim in it.
Right.
You understand that you, at some level, got together with your higher self and said, for me to progress, a soul vehicle into ascended state, how am I going to do that? Well, it's going to have to be pretty rough so that you wake up.
Oh, yeah.
And so you realize that you had a hand in it.
Yeah, and the rougher the life, really the more opportunities we have to awaken. There were many years when I used to blame my parents for being gay. because my mother was a lesbian, basically, and my dad was bisexual, but they were alcoholics, and they were, he was seething with anger. And so I called my mother up before she passed away, unfortunately, and I blamed her for, I said, it's your fault that I'm gay. She said, don't lay that on my doorstep. And it sunk in. It was like, oh, I guess I can't blame you for that. I made my own choices. And it was a horrible process to come out and accept myself. And it took, you know, 20 or 30 years, and it's still going on. So people who have things, who have made choices that the general populace don't agree with or find religiously or morally incorrect, there's a lot of guilt and shame that's unnecessary. And then we have to work through it because it's a, you know, we've come into this society and we have to work through the religious intolerance. And, you know, those are the same people that burned witches at the stake.
Yeah. Yeah, so this shame and this blame and all these really unwanted labels that now you hold could have been given to you by a societal presence. And more than likely they were. You know, and that construct is just falling apart now. And so that's why there's every kind of gender and every kind of flavor. And let's go ahead and separate everyone into every kind of category so that, you know, eventually they're just going to shake us all up into the same bowl.
Yeah.
And we'll just be, you know, we'll just be one. And eventually is what I feel. And I don't know timelines about that because timelines right now are not really reliable.
Right. Right.
You know, I don't even think people can predict anymore. I really don't.
No, because I'm sure of it.
You know, consciousness is too quick to change now. And
yeah.
if humanity changes, the mindset, the archontic streams have to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything around it changes, so the reality changes. So it's happening faster than it's ever happened before, the change in environment because of the reality of the human consciousness.
Yes. Yep. And the faster it happens, the more those who control the system are going to be surprised. And also, they have plans within plans to subvert our awakening. And to shut us down.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the more we awaken, the worse it gets.
Always
and the
been that way. Yeah.
Worse
mm-hmm.
it gets, the more we awaken, and yeah. one side or the other gets to take over. We either get free and we're not in the prison of reincarnation and endless cycles of being human guinea pigs and farm operations, milked of our energy, or you know, we're free. We can move on and graduate finally from the lessons that we've been learning for hundreds of thousands of years. I mean, it just seems like it's just a tired old game and it's time for it to end.
Right. And how will it end? It will end when humanity changes their concept of what they see.
Yes.
And they change their perception, and it will change the reality.
Yeah.
So how do you change the perception? Well, I really feel like, and here's something that I remember recently, my friend Jenna in Canada asked me. She said, you know, have you claimed Earth as your residency?
Oh.
I looked at her, and I thought she had just cussed at me. I was so mad that she even asked me that. It took me 2 weeks to even answer it in my own mind. I was so mad. I said, I am a traveler here. No way. I do not claim this earth. I have been here before, but this time I'm just a traveler.
Yeah.
I'm not claiming it. And she said, you know, really, how are you going to bring the highest wisdom of your being through a crystalline structure into the earth grid without plugging yourself into the earth and claiming the earth as your residency.
Right, right.
And I was like, oh, man, this is what they mean by heaven comes to earth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. You mean I have to claim earth as my residency? I am pissed. It took me weeks, and finally I did it. And it has really helped because right after I did it, I had some real shakeups in, you know, my personal life. And having to help some family members get through some things. And it was very – I had to really hold space. And had I not been so grounded and so firm, I really could have gone nuts during it. And I just feel good because of being asked the question. So ask yourself the question, Lance. Have you claimed Earth as your residency?
Well, I'll be honest with you. there was a long time – when I didn't, and I didn't want to be here, and I didn't like it here, and I didn't think that Mother Nature was wearing a golden crown and eating Nuko. but over the last few years, I've actually connected again with her and realized that it was by choice that I came in, that it was my choice, that it was not an accident.
Yes.
And that many of us chose to be here because we're in a process of densification. And we chose to do it to assist, you know, in this period of time, which is a crucial time.
Yes.
It's kind of it's like a nexus point. And people don't realize it because life goes on as usual. And we're distracted by everything. You know, everything around us is a distraction. I see films of people walking in New York to work and, you know, 10 people deep on the sidewalks and, hundreds of thousands of people all working together and separate and not paying attention to each other like herds of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that the numbers provide us with an advantage. And when we hit a certain number, we will be able to tip the scales, and that could be right now. You know, the 100 zillionth person could make a choice that tilts the teeter-totter just a nanoparticle in the other direction, and boom, you've got the 100th monkey effect.
Yeah, and it's just the personal choice.
Yeah.
To ascend your trauma, to ascend your own shadow aspects and get out of the fight.
Yeah.
Get out of the galactic war, get out of the earthly war, and take on the attributes of what you know your truth to be.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard that looks. And, of course, we've all created lives that don't include that.
Right.
You know. Obligations and jobs and things that we've taken on that like totally take our energy away. So what do? You have to dismantle.
Yeah.
You have to be conscious enough and awake enough in your life to have the higher perception that what you're doing right now is not helping you at all.
Right.
And it's not about scrapping everything and doing nothing. It's about dismantling and recreating so that you're more in alignment with what doesn't take your energy away and what feeds the soul. You know, your soul wants, that's what all our souls want to be fed while we're going through this like vortex of energy through the earth. You know, the earth is being sent through this like wormhole. Uh-huh. And we're being squeezed to death.
Yep.
And, you know, this heightened energy field is opening all kinds of doors and slamming all kinds of others. So how can you slam one without being the victim?
Right.
Say you created a business or something and and it's taking all your energy. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to dismantle it. Well,
right.
You know, but your you know, pride says, but you created it. You thought you wanted it. Well, it's not helping you.
Right.
So, you know, to let go of the judgment, all of it, and let it happen. I really freely, luckily I, you know, had a wake up to be able to dismantle easily without having attachments to things. And I can still dismantle very easily without having attachments to things.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is not the easiest thing to do, to dismantle in free will choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Consciously without being a victim.
Right. And some of our choices lead to things, behaviors that are repetitive. And so that becomes ingrained, and we simply need to change the way the neurons fire in our brains, because it's just a pathway that has been traveled so much that it becomes an addiction. And it's whether it's an addiction to pills or drugs or emotional situations, relationships, whatever, sex, it doesn't matter. It's still an addiction. And it's just a pathway. Growing old is an addiction. We don't have to grow old.
Right. And all these things may have been gifted to you by an ancestral heritage.
Yeah.
Those pathways in your brain were already put there by the consciousness that created the DNA.
Yes. Bingo. Bingo.
You know, it's not ours.
That's right.
Epigenetics allows us to say, once you've become aware of a DNA marker that is not yours, all it takes to change that is the awareness of it.
Yes. Beautiful.
Because you can allow it out of your body easily, or you can allow it out of your body very violently.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can let it seep out of your body over years and years of time.
Right.
You know, it's however you want to choose to do it. But really, it starts with the awareness that that marker was not yours.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. You have nothing to fear from it. You have nothing to be responsible for it.
Right. And no
guilt
and shame
about
it.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize for it.
Right.
And
it's not yours. I just have to be aware of it.
And the New Age community has really kind of put a lot of shame and blame in the concept of you create your environment.
Uh-huh.
You know, if there's any kind of darkness in your vicinity, you created it, that kind of thing. Let's go ahead and, like, throw some blame around.
Right.
When we're all swimming in the same soup.
Right.
We don't need that extra pressure of shame.
No, and some of the most prominent New Age people are some of the most, the ones that are the most guilty of abusing various things. And if we found out about, we wouldn't give them the time of day.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I've heard some disturbing ones recently. But it's pretty interesting once we focus on just the fact that this is a singular event with a singular person, yourself.
Yeah.
So there's no New Age movement. There's no right or wrong way. There's no prescribed path. There's no one deity. You know, just like we were talking about no idols, there is no idol. Even on the Ascended Master realm, we embody, maybe 10 of these.
Mm-hmm.
In any given day. So the flavor of the moment might be you're a shaman. The flavor of the moment might be you're an angel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have to be any one thing. We are the 13th thing.
Yeah.
We're the accumulation of all of that.
Absolutely. And, absolutely. I was having a fascinating conversation with my friend Helen Strang today, on the way back down and back from Volcano, and she was sharing a lot of information about Saint Germain, and I'd never heard it before. And apparently he was quite a fascinating character, you know,
mm-hmm.
Showing up in body and not in
yes.
body, and in
yes.
various times and places. And I thought, my goodness, I've never even read or heard about this before. I just kind of accepted the New Age belief system that these avatars had all been co-opted. You know?
Yeah, no, I've had my own instance with Saint Germain,
oh.
and I didn't know anything about him, but he actually showed in body and followed me around an airport for about 2 hours.
Wow.
And I was absolutely flabbergasted because it was like I was watching a hologram, and I may have been.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Ascended Master status may be hologram also. But it was quite interesting, and he was totally out of place. And everything that was said and all movement from him was totally out of place.
You're right.
It was very otherworldly. And someone mentioned to me, you know, that was probably Saint Germain. And I said, what? And I looked up Saint Germain and said, oh, my God, that was Saint Germain. Totally. And how am I to even believe that, you know, and it was after a very interesting growth period for me. And I had just been on a retreat that I had just really grown, and I was on my way home. And this was like a confirmation for
wow.
me of what had happened there. So, you know, I'm still kind of visited by the Ascended Masters used to come, you know, and other multidimensional beings used to come to me in all kinds of ways, but mostly not in body. But then
yeah.
over the last, say, 3 or 4 years, more and more of them are in body. And you can just tell by the glow around the body
yep.
is very, very, very different. And it comes at like a 20-foot level, you know, around the body, where most people are, you know, 2 feet around the body.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Well, yeah, I've had experiences similar to that, only they came through somebody that I was associated with. And
mm-hmm.
It was clear that it was, you know, whoever it was, and that entity changed. It was, maybe it was Archangel Michael one day, maybe it was an ET from an advanced civilization another day.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely different energy. There was no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, occasionally I'll be in a store. I used to, you know, notice this in the store, and a woman nearby had this glow, and she just looked at me, and I looked at her, and I just knew she was an angel in that
yeah.
moment. And I knew mm-hmm. I'd never see her again. And we acknowledged each other, and we went our separate ways, and I never did see her again.
See, when we bring our perception level away from what we see is what we know, then the matrix has to open itself. And we open it up to the cosmic realms, and the cosmic feed into this environment allows for multidimensional presence. And it opens up the fractal nature of existence and makes it quantum. And
yes.
that's when we have these quantum experiences like that. It's
just absolutely.
And when isn't it awesome when you just go to the grocery store and have this quantum angelic experience, and you're just driving away in the car, but this happens every day.
Yeah.
When you're living multidimensionally, this stuff happens every day.
Yes, and then the synchronicities start piling
up.
And I mean, I went through a 2-month period where everything was literally synchronous from moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with a friend, and we did a lot of experimentation with throwing light balls towards each other, and it mm-hmm. was just a very special moment. And when we returned to San Francisco, we were both having these experiences that were just bizarre. I'd glance at the newspaper, and a name that I recognized would be there. The music would be playing, and ordinarily it might be a rap station, and it would play something angelic. I mean, wherever I turned my attention, I found something that was awake and aware. And, you know, there were moments when I saw everything being recreated from moment to moment, that it literally blinked out of existence and came back in anew so fast that you couldn't see it. It's like magic.
You were creating your own portal.
Yeah, yeah.
You create your own portal to operate in on the earth, and that's it's beautiful.
But it is amazing, and that's what happens periodically. I think we set those up for ourselves, but when you see enough synchronicity that you're starting to question it, and you reach a point where you realize that it could not have happened accidentally. That is a moment that you can never forget.
Yeah. And then you know, and then what is that to do? It's to give you trust.
Yeah.
That you can trust this universe. Please let yourself trust the universe.
Yep.
Even as wonky as the earth is and the wonky as the structure is and every person around you is like losing their mind, there is a universal structure that we can trust.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it's like landing lights at night in a plane. You know, as it comes down, you see the landing lights and they seem to be faster and faster. And the synchronicities seem to get faster and faster. And pretty soon you realize they're guiding lights on your path.
Yeah, and then they become constant lights, and you don't even have to look down anymore.
Right.
Because you're on the path, and all synchronicities don't overwhelm you anymore. And then you're not in, like, that state of awe.
Right.
Where you don't honor it enough. You know, awe kind of puts you in a state, like a void. You know, you don't really do anything when you're in awe.
No.
But once you get out of awe and you're like, okay, that happened and I can, okay, that's great. I'm being validated in life. Move forward and just go on and not. I used to have synchronicity journals and I would write down every synchronicity and it became like a job.
Yeah,
like
me too.
It was ridiculous how many I had to write down. And it was, I looked at like three journals once and I said, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. I have a regular journal, and now I have these other journals.
Yep.
What am I trying to prove to myself?
Yeah.
And I put them down, and I didn't write in them again.
Did you find that you couldn't write fast enough, and it seemed like you just couldn't get it all down?
Yeah, because the next synchronicity was happening on top of it.
Right.
And then
it became
not even looking back at them. Why do I even care?
I've got boxes of those things out in the garage. I gotta go through them and throw them away, I think.
Oh, those are the fun things you find at the thrift shop.
Yeah.
People's crazy journals. Well, you know, and so what do we do with that? It's just really for the process of taking it out of our body, out of our mind, through our hand, in a kinesthetic motion to paper.
Yeah.
It actually, firmates, that's a new word. It's like a firmament, you know, it's bringing it into the firmament. And so it brings it into your awareness that, you know, maybe I can trust something other than myself, even though everyone I know has screwed me and everyone in the religious world has screwed me and the business world was not so great to me and my employee life was sucking. You know what I mean? If you've got like lists of stuff, you know, well, how could you say that life isn't really there for you when you haven't ignited it, you know?
Right. Right.
And the only way to ignite it is to bring in higher energy.
Yes. And as you said earlier, to remain in neutral, because what happens when beings or entities from advanced civilizations arrive here, they play God and pretend to play God, and we end up with religions.
Yeah. And we end up with judgment.
Yeah.
And we end up with ridicule and sin and everything else that just, you know, all it's doing is holding back a soul from progressing in life.
Yep. Right.
And we all just want life. We just want to focus on, you know, keeping our human body and our vessels, you know, minus the traumas that aren't ours.
Right.
And be powerful humans enough to see that there's something beyond that we can trust.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Cindy, this hour has gone by really fast, too. And thankfully, we're not leaving hanging with another subject for the next visit. But if you want to wrap things up and mention your website, now would be the time.
Okay, great. Well, I have a website where I do have my services that I provide, which are healing energy services, mostly done remotely. And then I offer two products that I actually take myself that I believe are really powerful and needed right now by people. One of them is a liver cleanse. It's called HepaSil. And what we're trying to do is take anger out of the body. And the anger is in our liver.
Wow.
And we need to get that out. And I tell you, I've been taking this, and it really did bring anger out of my liver.
Wonderful.
So don't do this liver cleanse and try to be nice to anyone for 3 days. So, you know. And then I have another one for joint support. I have had a lot of joint pain over my life through injuries and whatnot. And I really was not doing well. And I saw a lady at a retreat, and she was barely walking. And a friend of ours, Jenna, had this product called Precosa. And it's a blend of...
Well, Cindy, we've got to go now.
Okay.
People check out
soon.
Her website.
Yeah. KnowingDoe.com. Thanks so much.
Wonderful. Cindy, I love talking to you. I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Love
Thank you
Lynn.
So much. Love you too. Good night, everybody.